I would just like to thank everybody for being here. I am. I was hoping we'd have a crowd because I want a crowd. I want questions. I want people to be aware of what's going on. So, I don't know if you know me. My name is Jerry Wimette. I'm the chief of the fire department. I'll let you see these guys introduce themselves.
I'm John Gutterich. I'm the deputy chief of the fire department.
Jacob Leopold, chief of Shelter and Rescue.
Devin Major, assistant chief for Shelter and Rescue.
So basically, tonight is an informational meeting about Article 8 that's going to be on the ballot in March. We want people to ask questions. There is a sheet on the table over there. If anybody doesn't have a copy, it's kind of a most commonly asked question that we've dealt with so far. So it's answering to those, but we'll take all kinds of questions afterwards. Basically, what I'd like to do is I want to let people know exactly what this is involving and what's going on here. We have an opportunity to acquire a piece of land on Route 7 in the Route 7 corridor north of the village, which is a prime location, has been a prime location for the fire department since 2007. We have been looking at property, seven different properties actually up in that area between the Webster Road and the Long Meadow areas. Like I said, this study that's been done, this was done in 2007, but it's still very much active today, and the content is a lot of what we're still dealing with today. So this isn't something new. This is something that the fire department's been looking into for almost 11 years now. What the ballot item is for is to basically spend $25,000 to help offset the cost of site preparedness fees, to do prep work for just making sure the site's buildable to begin with, to make sure we can actually build something on that site. This is not a commitment to build a fire station. It's not a commitment to buy land. This is basically a commitment to just help invest some money into making sure that property is suitable to build on, which is what we need to do first. It's I don't know how much you've heard of down the road, but it's basically a three-step process. This step, by voting yes to spend the $25,000 this March, it's basically saying that we're going to put on the ballot next March to actually purchase land for a cost of $695,000. After that, once we basically procure the land and it becomes Shelburne's land, we don't anticipate building a fire station. It's not in our immediate near future. It obviously is something that we both need. Both departments are it's a necessity for both departments. But it's nothing we sat down and started actually building or planning. Whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is down the road, when the departments finally get together and decide that this is the time to do this and move forward, we just want to make sure at this point we're acquiring a piece of land that we can actually secure and build a station on. It's a 2.3-acre parcel, I believe. 2.3 is our portion of it. It sits back. So at the light at Long Meadow, the site would be that last lot, North Rice Lot, which is lot 6. That's being purchased by another individual who has approached us to subdivide to the back property. So we'd be sitting on the back part of that lot near the cliffs, and our access would come out onto Route 7 from there through the light. It's a prime site for us only because the congestion in Shelburne right now is very hard for us to do a lot of things in our station, in our current station. It's very crowded. Getting access to Route 7 is always an issue, compounded with baseball in the summer, a new library, which is going to create a little more traffic, I'm hoping. It's going to just make things very congested for us to have guys responding to a station. We are still an all-volunteer fire department. We have to respond to our station before we can respond to a call. So we have anywhere from 4 to 6 to 15 members responding in their personal vehicle to come down here and get the apparatus and take it to a call. Currently, that can be a headache because coming into this parking lot, getting out of this parking lot, sometimes is very difficult. The congestion on Route 7, as everybody knows, is always an issue. Getting onto Route 7, getting off from Route 7 is a battle every day. So our intentions are to move our department north of the village. That site in particular is the best of the sites we've ever looked at because it kind of gets us in an area where we're basically in the middle of the town of Shelburne. We're not in the village, but we're in the middle of the town of Shelburne. It gives us our response areas keeps us within 5 miles of basically anywhere in Shelburne, which is what we need, and actually rescue needs more than we do. Their response times are more critical than ours. So that site, that location, is a prime location, and it has been in our, it's been in our scope since, like I said, since 2007. The timing, obviously, we know is not good. We understand the financial burden in Shelburne with everything that's been going on lately. We're 32 members strong, and we're all volunteers, and we all live in Shelburne. We all understand the issue with the taxes and costs of what's going on in Shelburne. But that being said, knowing that this has to happen eventually, because if Shelburne's going to continue to grow, our departments need to grow. And currently, neither one of our departments can grow in the buildings we're currently in. We are confined right now to 6 bays. We currently have 7 pieces of apparatus in 6 bays. We have 1 piece of apparatus we can't even keep in the station. We also have a trailer we use for fire prevention that's kept outside the building. So all that stuff should be under one roof, just for its own protection and safety. We also have a storage container behind the station, if you haven't seen that yet. That's basically carrying the overflow that we can't get in the storage rooms in our station. We do have some slides we can show of both buildings and kind of give you an idea of what we're looking at for size. But, hearing all the different projections for the town of Shelburne moving forward in the next 15 to 20 years, it's expected to just continue to grow. We as a department, if we remain where we are going to have a very difficult time growing and providing the protection we need to provide to this town with what we're currently in. I will let Jake speak to his part of this as far as that's concerned.
I mean, Chief Womack covered a great deal of it. The situation with Shelburne Rescue is that as the town continues to grow, our call volume continues to grow. And so we are now looking at the situation that within, I think, a few years' time, we need to start considering possibly deploying a second ambulance. To do that, we would need space to actually own a third ambulance, since you always need to have one in reserve. That's not a feasibility with our current facility. And as we think about what the staffing would look like, we would also need more bedrooms and more living space to accommodate that as well. So it's not just simply expanding out the garage, which is not an option given the recent determination that where we are located is a wetland. So our footprint cannot increase in our current building in any way, shape, or form, which means we need to be in a new site to continue providing service to the town of Shelburne as the years go forward. There's the other element of response times. The response times for Shelburne Rescue are largely, they're monitored. We keep an eye on them simply because we need to make sure that we're providing a good service, and also to make sure that we are not burdening our mutual aid partners in any way, shape, or form. So moving to someplace a bit more central on Route 7 would help us there. And there's the other element of the facilities themselves, which we have issues with leaks and pests and pipes freezing and electrical issues. And when we have a manned station, which Shelburne Rescue is, where people stay there overnight, those are really not things that we can continue to ignore or band-aid, fix, and patch as we move on, as we have over the past few years. Also, because Shelburne Rescue is largely a volunteer service, you need to provide nice quarters and living spaces to continue to attract volunteers. There are other volunteer services in this county who we lose volunteers to because they have nicer facilities. Bedrooms, gyms, multiple day quarters. We don't have a great deal to compete with when we're trying to attract volunteers, and nice facilities and quarters is one of the major attractors, in addition to training opportunities, which we would need a larger training room to actually make that a feasibility as well, because our current training space is, in my opinion, insufficient. Beyond that, I think it's many of the same issues that Chief Womack covered. Rescue was never meant to be a long-term site. It was a 5 to 8 year temporary facility. That was 30 years ago.
And a couple things I want to make sure we make very clear to everybody is this isn't something that just came about in the last few months. Like I said, this has been something that the fire department, and I have a study, and I'm more than willing to show this to anybody. This has been going on since 2007. We have been doing site studies, feasibility studies of places to go, why we need to go there for the past 11 years. This is something we knew was going to come down the road. It was going to happen at some point because we know Shelburne has grown quite a bit in the 26 years I've been here. And it's growing even more, and it's going to grow faster. That's one of the reasons, one of the things I'll make very clear is this wasn't a off-the-cuff decision isn't going on for a number of years. Secondly, it needs to be made very clear, and it's very important that you understand that by voting on this in March, we are not committing to buy this property. All we are doing is committing to pay the money to help do the site surveys to make sure that this property is even buildable. Whether we do it on this site or 3 years from now, do it on another site on Route 7, we're still going to have to pay this money up front because you've got to do site before you can actually build on a property. This property, we're not anticipating any problems. There's already been some preliminary work already done on the property. We're hoping everything goes through, and I have no reason to think it wouldn't. So this $25,000 that's going to be spent this year or in this budget or this ballot is just to say, yes, go ahead and make sure this site is buildable. It's not committing anybody to any purchases of any kind down the road. Next year in March, we will come back and we will give you the reasons why this is so important to buy this piece of property at this time. We will do our work and I will take questions all year long. You want my email, my cell phone, I'll give it to you. I have no problem with that. If you have questions, I just want people to know that this isn't something that's committing the town to anything, any kind of a purchase whatsoever. It's basically committing to just doing a preliminary site work to make sure it's a buildable property. Next year, if we come back, you decide you don't think it's worth buying the property, that's your decision next year. But that's a decision made down the road. We think this is important right now because we've compared a couple different things on Route 7. One of the other properties we were looking at was the Yankee Doodle Motel property. That currently is on the list for $795,000. I don't know if it's big enough for the building we need. I also don't think between the cost of the land, you'd have to include the cost of remove the building that's there. You'd also have to include the cost to do all the site work, which would be double what it is now because we're sharing it with somebody else. So you're looking at well over $1 million to even look at purchasing that property. This property is giving us the opportunity to buy a property next year for less than $700,000. It's 2.3 acres on the Route 7 corridor, which if anybody else has that kind of property that's willing to give it up, by all means, step forward, because you're not going to find it anywhere else. Of the other seven sites we looked at, probably three of them at this point are beyond us even pursuing them because they've either had builds on them or the property has changed hands or whatever reasons. So it's still a matter of the fact that this property is one that's been in our eyes for a number of years. It's a perfect location for both departments. It gives both departments the opportunity to come together into one building. It makes us more efficient. We can share resources. We can share personnel. We work well together anyway. It gives an opportunity to work better in our own surroundings. This site will also give us an area to do a training pad, which currently, if we want to do vehicle education, we have to go to Shalott and do it behind their station, or we go to Raddy's in Colchester and do it up there. Then you're taking all your personnel out of town with all your apparatus for training and leaving your town to mutual aid departments. We don't like doing that, but we have to do that training. So this gives us the ability to do all our training on site. Anything else in part of the...
I don't think so. I think just to understand, the three-step process is not only because that's just the way it's going to play out, but it also gives the town more time to take all of the financial considerations given the other projects that are being undertaken. In a sense, it's the best option for us to be able to make this happen feasibly with respect to the town and financial considerations without foregoing the possibility of securing this land. Because this is a fantastic site for both services. And we'd be... I would feel remiss in my responsibility to not ask the town to pursue this opportunity, is really what it is. And if that is a three-step process, that's perfect. That's the way to do it.
And I don't want to speak on behalf of the select board, but my understanding is that they didn't jump into this unwittingly either. They did a lot of research. They put a lot of time into making sure this was the right decision for the town at this time. They made the decision amongst the five within that, despite the fact that we all know it's a terrible time to do this, it is the best opportunity for this to happen to the town of Shelby. They made that decision with a lot of research, and I give them a lot of kudos for the work they put into this on a short time because they really bent over backwards to help us out and move this process forward with our support, obviously, and our coaxing. They really were behind us on this 100%. So. they're aware of, you know, the situation with the town of Shelburne, but they were willing to put this on the ballot this time because they feel, as we do, it's probably the best time for the town of Shelburne to do this financially.
I would also sort of speak for Shelburne Rescue. The volunteers of Shelburne Rescue are putting up $25,000 of our squad's budget, which is separate from tax money. It is not town general fund. It is supported by insurance billings. It is what supports all of our operational costs and has for the past 11 years. We are matching the town's tax money this year one for one because the volunteers of Shelburne Rescue believe in this opportunity. We think it is our best chance at a shared facility. We think this is the best site. And we understand that it's a risk and that that money would be lost if it doesn't move forward, but that is an expression of our confidence in this action. And I don't think we should overlook that, that the volunteers of the services feel that way.
Absolutely. Do you want to show the slides? Let us show you a few slides we have first, and we'll open it up to questions right after.
I know it's going to be hard for folks to see this.
I shut out that whole screen. Yeah, that's your best bet.
I wonder if I should move this forward.
I can put it forward if it makes it easier.
No, I think we can see it. So we'll start with the fire station. So this is the view of the fire station across the front of the bays. You'll see how close the trucks are to the doors. That is because they have to be that way. When you see the trucks that are behind them, you'll understand why. Like I said, we have every bay is full with stuff in between. So this picture just gives you an idea of basically how tight it is. We really don't have a lot of room to walk around when the doors are closed. That's the back of the station. So those are the three bays in the back. And again, you understand why we... And if you look at it like a puzzle, those trucks have to go in a certain way or they won't fit. It's kind of putting the long ones with the short ones in different bays. So those are the front and back entrances. That's our quint. 6 inches is what it clears by. This station was built in 1984. At that time, ladder trucks and Shelburne were a big consideration. As we move forward, this truck has become very useful for us in the past year. It has done its job more than once that we've asked it to perform. And we're not getting a new station because this truck doesn't fit. We're just showing you that down the road, trucks only get bigger. Fire engines and fire apparatus are only getting bigger because of the amount of equipment they have to carry, the amount of resources they have to be able to supply. This is, now, what you're looking at, that's again the front of the station, so you have our two primary response trucks in the front, engine two and the tanker on the other side of it. The boat is kept in the bays in Shelburne Bay at the shipyard from, we're usually the first boat in and the last boat out when the docks come out, so it's there most of the year, but when it's out of the water, it has to be in the station. When that boat's in the station, our old antique engine one, which a lot of members put a lot of time into refurbishing and making it look parade ready again, has to be stored off site, as well as our trailer for fire prevention, fire education. And our little boat in the middle it's not facing a door, it just has to be jockeyed around. We have to get it out. This is one of our storage rooms, that's the hose supply room. As you can see, really not a lot of room to move around there.
I think that's the fire.
Okay.
And some pictures for rescue.
So this is just the main living quarters at rescue. We have one main area for us in addition to an office for our volunteers who are there. And rescue is either fully manned or partially manned, so there's always someone down at the building. So this is the day room. This is our ambulance bay. It's pretty tight quarters. There's cabinets along to the left that we can't see here, so you've got to be careful when you're sort of backing in. And then we've got our two closets that we have off to the right.
There are issues with leaks right now along that main joist that we see at the top of the screen that we worry about. And you can see that we've run out of storage, so we actually have some extra material, one of our older stretchers up there on top of the cabinets. There's a lot of water damage right here along this interior wall that you can see, which we'll need to tear out the sheetrock and put in the supports again. Next to our laundry area, we do have a laundry area on site for the people who stay there. Because we wash our ambulances inside, there's not a great deal of room for us to sort of control that spray so the water gets everywhere, and it's just what we have to deal with. Our pipes freeze. insufficient insulation, so when it gets to be the wintertime, we put up signs to remind everyone that you need to leave the doors open or the pipes freeze. It's pretty simple. They're frozen every year that I've been on the squad. So, this is our training area. Like I mentioned, if we were to be any bigger, we couldn't really fit everyone. Really, as it is, when we have all of our squad present for the training, we're actually three rows deep and we're out of room, so we actually have to then use the bedrooms, which are on the back wall, for our practical stations, because a great deal of our training is not lecture-based, it's actually hands-on, practically skill-based, and you can't really do that with a full group of people, so we set up practical stations downstairs, in the office, out in the bays, in the bedrooms, to maintain the lecture space in this training area. It'd be great to have something larger. Our bedrooms, we double up. We renovated these bedrooms a few years ago, but it's still relatively tight quarters. And not everyone wants to share a bedroom just because our volunteers are adults. So it's not something that everyone's comfortable with. And I can't fault anyone for that. You've got to respect people, their private space. I just can't provide it to them. This is how close our two ambulances are to each other. Because of the length of our bay, we have right around 2.5 feet between them. So you just got to be careful when you're backing in and plan accordingly. You can see a slightly better shot of the water damage along the bottom to that sheetrock, which we'll have to redo and replace and try to set up some sort of backsplash from the hoses. This is the sort of far side that we're talking about. So we have lockers and cabinets there, so getting into the second ambulance is it's a little bit tight. It's hard to see on this photo, but we also actually have an electrical cord running across beneath the backup ambulance because the outlet on the far side is dead, so to power some of the equipment that we have on the other side, fridge, washing machine, we have to run an extension cord while we're waiting to get the electrical upgrades done. And it just, when we fix one outlet, another one just seems to go. It's just the nature of the building. We're continually looking at quotes on how we can just overhaul the entire facility. Again, this is just sort of an expression of the tight quarters. We only have a few feet there to where we store water drugs and things like that next to the ambulance.
Thank you,
Maddie. I think one of the key things about this property and site in particular in all the work that we've done is in looking at the issues between space within fire and rescue and our needs now is that we're not just planning a site and a lot to build a building that's big enough to fit what we have with a little bit of room. It's with plenty of room to grow as we're only getting bigger. As Jacob said, the potential of a third ambulance, so there needs to be parking space for extra trucks that aren't going to be filled, maybe not be filled right off, but as the town grows and as we grow as departments, we need that space because we do understand that the cost of this now and the future, we don't want to come back in 15 years and say, hey, we need another building. We didn't do it right. So this plan and this process has gone on for a long time to try and make sure that what we're looking at now is plenty of future growth and room for that.
This piece of property gives us a footprint big enough to build a station on that we both feel the department is sufficient for growth. It allows for room for a third ambulance. Down the road, if this town continues to grow at the rate it's growing, for us to maintain our ISO ratings, we may have to include a third engine in our department. This building gives us room to add that third engine if it's necessary. It just gives us a lot of room to progress into the future. if the day should come when the volunteer service just can't fulfill its needs anymore and we have to hire out, this facility gives us the opportunity to offer something worth somebody applying to want to be a full-time member here. A new facility with good apparatus and good training sites and working with Rescue directly. So it gives us a chance to grow together as departments as well as individually. So short of really reading this word for word, if everybody wants to take one of these home, I would encourage you to. I kind of just want to open it up to questions now and just take all the questions you have.
I've got a question first. I'm Bob Finn.
I'm from Rescue. And I'm my biggest question is, why can't we unify everything in the existing building?
The way that building currently sits, we have no place to expand. We can't go backwards.
Right. What if you move? Why not move the ball up?
If you want to take that up with the ball people, that's fine. I'm not fighting that fight. We've gone down that road before, and then when I even mentioned it once,
so that's been considered.
Did you really?
It has been considered. We talked about in our, I don't have any pictures with me here, but in probably 2000 or 2009, we do have diagrams of this building coming out this way more or going back more. We did both different ways. Obviously, we can't go to the north anymore because of the way the library is configured. Coming out this way, removing a ball field, you're still constricted to the fact that you can only come so far. We're looking at a building for both of us to be in. You're looking at least 6 bays wide building. You have to have enough bays to get all the apparatus in and then still have room to go deep. So you're looking at a station, you know, our plan on a station is looking at something that's going to be anywhere from 80 to 90 feet deep just to get the apparatus in the way we need to and still have 6 bays wide. We can't go any farther back where we are now because you would have no room to get around the building and you'd be impinging on the railroad property, so we can't go that way. Coming this way, you'd want to have to come, you'd probably have to lose, I would almost say, both ball fields. Plus, you'd be losing a lot of the parking area because you've got to have open access to the fire station. So if you're going to have 4, 5, or 6 bays wide, you've got to have that cleared out so many feet so the trucks come straight out and aren't hindered by parking or traffic.
From my standpoint, it makes sense. The ball fields are there because they're a legacy from when this was a school.
Right.
Why not move both ball fields down where there are other ball fields?
I don't even know if that's even possible. I honestly don't know. That's nothing I've ever looked into because I'm not familiar with what the ball fields have moved to on Harbor Road. I'm not sure if these fields can move to Harbor Road. I know there's been a lot of questions about how much they're used, the congestion in town. But you need to understand, that's not the only reason we need to move out of the station. We are in a congested area, which, for a number of reasons, it creates a safety issue for our responders coming in. It creates a safety issue for pedestrians when we respond out. There's going to be a lot more traffic in this parking lot with the new library. And it's only going to get worse down the road. So we as individuals have to think about the fact that when we come responding to a call, we are very aware of our surroundings, but we still have to come in with our lights and sirens on, and we still have to be very aware of our surroundings. It's the same thing heading out of the station. When you pull out of the station, you can ask any of our drivers. There are times when you're in a truck that big, you don't have the full visibility you want. You have an officer that's going to give you direction on his side. You can see your side. But there's a lot of kids around this parking lot on any given day, and with the traffic coming in and out for the library and for the town center and for the ball fields, it creates a congestion problem. Getting out of this parking lot alone is an issue because the lane's just barely wide enough. If there's a car sitting there waiting to turn north or south, we can't get around them. It's not wide enough. They basically have to pull out so we can get out, and that's a matter of traffic stopping to let them out. So there's a number of safety issues as far as public and fire-related, as well as the fact that this town, the village, the town of Shelburne, has become very congested. It's very hard for us to respond onto Route 7 in any direction because of the amount of traffic that's always congested in this field.
I think that might have been a really good solution 10 years ago. I don't think that's a feasible solution 10 years from now. And I think that's one of the major considerations that JJ talked on, with, you know, as Deputy Chief touched on earlier, is the ability to expand and grow both services in time. And I'm not sure that site is really provides that opportunity for the town. And I think if the town's going to be investing any money of this magnitude, they've got to do it multiple decades. We can't just do it for now. I think that's a very poor decision.
Well, the other question is, what, you know, our biggest priority, I think, should be response time at the community school. And where we're located right now, both with the fire department and the rescue squad, is ideal. And, you know, have you measured the response time? What the difference in response time?
We base our response times on where the majority of our calls are. Our town is 7 miles north to south, I believe. I'm not sure east or west. But we respond, we base our response times on the majority of where our calls are in Shelburne. Being just north of the village gives us the ability to respond to the north end of Shelburne, which always takes us a very long time. I know for a fact, because I listen to the radio, rescue spends a lot of time going north to Shelburne, whether it's Shelburne Bay, whether it's Harbor Place, whatever it is, they spend a lot of time going north. A lot of their majority of their calls, and I don't want to say half, but I'm going to say majority of their calls are north of the village of Shelburne. Their response times would decrease by this. Our responses in Shelburne aren't going to change. It still takes us the same amount of time to get to the station, whether it's here or north of the village, because we have guys on both ends of town. We still get a truck on the road in a reasonable amount of time. So responding to anywhere in Shelburne is not going to change dramatically where it's going to be a life safety issue, I don't think. It's no different than saying if Shelburne Bay was to catch fire with all those ugly people in it, it's going to take us forever to get there. Yeah, we're close to the school, but we're away from that. At least being up on Route 7 in that area, in that corridor, we're able to respond to just about anywhere in Shelburne in the same amount of time from the station.
One second, John. So school specifically, I can tell you that we averaged, we did 262 calls last year for the fire department only, and I think we went to the school 4 times. The year prior to that was about 12 times, but that was during construction and the contractors kept clipping fire alarm wire, so that kept going off. So that was the anomaly of a year for responses to the school as a specific location. So when you look at less than 10 runs a year out of our numbers to a place, we go a lot more to other places in town as individual facilities and just Route 7 in itself for car accidents. So I think, like the chief said, getting up on Route 7 where this property is located puts us in a better response time overall to the town, and it doesn't change the school. We've waited for the train. Rescue's waited for the train. If you're having a heart attack out on Pond Road, you probably don't want them waiting for a train. And I think that's one of the other benefits of this site, is it reduces the amount that we have to wait for that train.
It also gives us response to Harbor Road has always been a question for us. Again, with the train tracks, getting down Harbor Road is never an issue if there's no trains. But if there's something on Bay Road, Harbor Road to Bay Road, sometimes it takes longer to get to where you need to be because of the underpass. Again, this location on Route 7, we are almost comparably right in the middle of both ends of Bay Road, which allows us to respond to both sides of the train or the trestle in equal amounts of time. If it was responding from here to that area, you'd have to decide which way you're going to go, and responding up Route 7 and back down Bay Road can sometimes take longer because of getting through the village. So again, it gives us a better response to everywhere in Shelburne.
Sean, 1 second. John in the back was first.
Well, I was just going to say,
can you come up and use the microphone, John, please?
Thank you. With the proposed new facility where you're talking about, you have egress control, right?
Yes,
you
right.
You can control the light and you can go. Now, I was on rescue for 15 years. I've been retired for almost 10. And one of the worst times to go on a call is between 2:55 and 3:30 because it's gridlock and it's very difficult to get up this way. And, you know, yes, there are definitely calls to the school, especially during athletic times, but they, by far, were not the majority of our calls. And just getting up that road can be difficult. And this light also can be difficult for rescue.
It's basically a blind intersection for rescue coming. Anything coming north, they have to really get out into the intersection before anybody even sees it because of the brick building on the corner. So it is a little bit of a dangerous issue.
And it's because it is blind that is one of the most often cases and most one of those common intersections where we have to cross over the yellow line because of the line of traffic for a significant distance traveled, which is very risky, which we strongly encourage against, but is a requirement. Moving away from this intersection would be helpful.
Now, I don't want more taxes at all, knowing any of us do. But as we've been talking about this since shortly after you trained me on rescue when you were the trainer back in the 90s, and this property site, to me, if it works out to be buildable, is a no-brainer. The cost is going to come eventually. It's definitely going to come, no matter what. That building's going to die. I don't know about yours. But
it's dead.
it's got to happen. And it's better to plan for it than to have to do it because we have to do it. So that's all it is.
Thank you, John.
Sean Moran. So this is kind of a two-part thing. I'm very concerned about response time. I was lucky enough to be with that kid who was hit by the 18-wheeler in front of Panera for 22 minutes, laying on the ground, freezing, waiting for a response. And the fire department is a block away, so I don't know where they were. I don't know where police were. They just didn't come. So the response time was a long time for this kid with two legs under a huge tire like that. I'm glad you had this meeting because it certainly dispelled a lot of myths. Poor Mary Keogh and Linda and I have been going around and around, and we thank Mary for answering our letters to the select board about, you know, what the hell was going on. Yes, taxes are a mess. My question is, if this was a concern for such a long time, I mean, that rescue building is atrocious. Yes, you're crowded, I can see it. Not as bad as they are. If this was a concern for such a long time, was this brought to the select board before, or was it brought now because of this property? Because we have a monster library that was pushed through. We're continuing to pay for the pet project of the old select board and suing the railroad. You know, we bought the fire truck, which we needed. We do the sewer because it was needed. We didn't need a new library, and we didn't need to keep suing the railroad. If this was brought up, if it's been a concern for years, why wasn't this pushed through before that?
Craig? to be honest with you, I'll tell you what.
I'm not anti-library.
No, I understand. I want you to understand this.
But
I've been on the Shelburne Fire Department for almost 27 years. I have been in Osterman's department for 25 of those years. I was Craig's assistant for 11, and I've been chief for the last 6.5. The entire time that Craig was chief of this department, this issue has come up on our capital, long-range capital budget every year. Am I wrong? Every year we put it in our capital range. We need to get a new fire station. We need to get a new fire station. That's why we did the site survey in 2007. That's why we did all the pre-planning in 2007, because we wanted them to see what was involved with this. Over the past 11 years, between Craig and I, this has been put on our capital budget every year that we need a new fire station. And it continues to get pushed out because of other projects that are supposedly more important. I'm not saying we're ever more important than anybody else in this town. I'm not saying that.
Well,
I understand that, but every
library's not going to help my house if it's burning down.
But every department in town, every department head in town thinks their agency needs something, and I understand that. Every department probably does need things. We've always been, in our minds, we know it's got to happen. We keep putting it in the capital long-range budget. It keeps getting pushed out. For whatever reasons, I can't answer. I'm not on the select board. I haven't been on the select board. There's been a lot of select boards in the time Craig and I have been chiefs. So this issue has been, it's been in the town's eye. It's been in the town government's eye for a very, very long time. This opportunity, and that's what I need to express to people, is this didn't just pop. This isn't a off-the-cuff reaction to, wow, we got some land. This has been going on for a very, very long time. And this opportunity for this piece of property at the cost to Shelburne is just, it's never going to happen. I can't say it enough, and I don't know how to tell people that. I can let you read all the surveys we've done. I can let you read everything you want to read, all the information you want. It's not ever going to get any better. The longer we put this off, the more expensive it's going to be to even think about purchasing land. Then you're paying for all the site stuff yourself. We're not splitting with anybody. Then you're having to deal with the building, which is going to be a lot more of a need the farther away you get than it is right now. We are not pushing to have this building built in 3 years. This is a long-term, the soonest, and I mean this sincerely, the soonest we'd ever see a fire station in this town is no less than 5 years out, because there's so much work involved in designing to making sure both agencies have everything we need in the station. That's long range. Down the road, there are going to be grant and funds opportunities to build a fire station. That happens all the time. There's always grants out there to help services build fire stations and emergency quarters and stuff like that. So that's way out. I don't even want people to think about that. That's not our concern right now. Our concern is to basically have the opportunity to acquire a piece of land that's been in our eyes for 11 years at a cost this town that's going to be greatly less than any other piece of property in the town of Shelburne. And there's nothing in that corridor. I challenge anybody to show me a piece of property between Webster Road and Long Meadow that's for sale right now, that's buildable and big enough for a fire rescue station. I challenge you. If you want to bring it to me, bring it to me.
And has access to a light.
Yeah. That's the other issue with the neighborhood of property. And the other issue, and actually, I'd be glad to let anybody read this. I really would. The seven properties we've looked at in that corridor, the only one that had access to Route 7 was on the Long Meadow light. Every other site, you would have to ask the state to grant us
a curb cut,
which they may not grant. If it's too close to an intersection, they won't give you another curb cut.
Was this site ever brought... So this site just came into being. Was it ever brought up to the select board before?
This was all presented to the select board at one time. So they knew of all the properties.
Current or past?
Yeah, past. Since 2000.
Yeah, that figures.
I think, Sean, too, one of the things is that this site finally became available. Right, so it wasn't that.
Right.
For how long has Rice Lumber been Rice Lumber on its own property until recently? So, the opportunities, while we have identified the sites for future, they haven't always been available. And I think that is the one thing that has come up on the short term of this is that now the site is available. So, it's.
Had you surveyed other sites? Had you gone to the board and said, "We think Sirloin Saloon could be a great site"? I'm not saying obviously.
Of all the ones that we looked at, we did the pros and cons of each site, of what the good and bad parts of it was.
So these kept coming to our select board,
originally when we did this study, we presented it to them, and we probably brought it up again over the years of different locations we looked at. That at those times, we just went off the time.
I should sit down before I can.
The other thing I want to make very, very clear. Healthy living is getting, this needs to be made very clear. Healthy living gets nothing out of this. You need to understand that. They came to us because they know this has been a concern of ours. Finding a place to put a new building has been a concern of ours for a number of years. They came to us about this, giving us the opportunity to do this. They are by no means gaining anything from this. The site they're looking at, they're building on the front, they're giving the back to the fire department. Had we not been involved in this venture, they would have built on the back and sold the front for a lot more money than they're selling us the back for. So that's number one. Number two is, he's getting no breaks. We're helping him pay for the site because he's going to subdivide the site to the town. That's our cost, the site. We're not paying half of his site. He's paying for his own, and we're paying for the one we hope to acquire. So that's the other thing that's not an issue. So healthy living, I want to make it very clear, is not gaining anything by doing this for us. They have an opportunity to sell that land to a number of other buyers at a much greater cost. It's a lot quicker than they can to the town of Shelburne because of what has to be gone through for the process of getting the money and votes and all that. So they have been very patient. I want to commend them for their patience. I want to commend them for even thinking of us for this process, knowing how important it is to us. But they have been very patient and worked with us very closely, worked with the select board in the town very closely to make sure that we're all able to do this. That needs to be made very clear. Go back.
Hi, I'm Doug Merrill. A couple questions about the site in particular. So
the mic is off.
Oh, was it off? I'll just talk loud. It sounds like
it's on.
No,
it wasn't. It died in the middle.
Okay. Well, please. I'll try and face both of you. So a couple questions about the site. First of all, and this is, reflects my lack of knowledge about zoning, but can it be split? I mean, that when Rice sort of sold this, they had a certain number of lots, and now we're saying that Healthy Living is going to split it. And I've got a couple questions. I don't answer it first. Can they split it? Can we take half and they take half? Or does it have to be kept whole? And the second is, just looking at it quickly, and this is the first time I've seen the lots, help me understand a little bit about how much square feet do we currently have in the two buildings, and land do we have in our footprint, and how much do we have here? Because it doesn't actually look that big.
I can actually give you, I don't know.
That's all I have.
I don't know, let me answer the first question, or the second question. The actual square footage of our station, I'm not positive where it is. I know it's 60.
Our apparatus bays, I can tell you, because I haven't done the math on the rest of the small rooms outside of, but our apparatus bay is the three doors wide by the two trucks deep. In the fire station is 60 feet by 52 feet.
The site that you see right there, that will allow for a station the size of Williston's, which is more than enough for us, with a 20 by 20 foot cement training pad and 40 parking spaces for both agencies. So that is a very sufficient site for us. Not only that, but it also allows us to have access, like somebody had mentioned, straight out to Route 7. We can do, we obviously will approach the state to do
the preemption
lighting. So when we come out of there, the same thing that happens in South Burlington. The other three directions will go red. We'll have access to any way we want to go.
Currently, the intersection is north and south is preemption. We'll stop. Depending on which way we're going, we would add that, our side of the light, so we would be able to get out.
And to answer the question about the
first question, can I ask you to approach that, Joe?
Sure.
Joe is here on behalf of Healthy Living, so he can probably answer that one.
Yeah, my name is Joe Wythe. I work with Weitenberg Real Estate, and we do represent.
Sorry about that. I'm Joe Wythe, and I'm with Weitenberg Real Estate, and we represent Healthy Living. And we did do a pretty thorough review of the zoning and subdivision regulations when we worked on this site plan and the subdivision plan. And we feel pretty confident that we can, go back to, well, we will have to go back to the Development Review Board to amend the original Rice Lumber subdivision planned unit development to create another lot. But we're pretty confident that we will be able to do that.
And just roughly, you think there'll be enough, because you're pretty much covering that whole lot with your buildings or pavement, so that's going to comply with the...
We believe so. There was, in that original planned unit development approval, there was an opportunity that was given where some density can be actually transferred from some conservation areas that are on the back portion of the Rice Lumber lot to these front lots. So we think that we feel pretty strongly that we can do that. But we will have to get approval from the Development Review Board to do that.
That is part of what this grand total of the $50,000, the 25 from taxes and the 25 put up from rescue. That is part of that's what this year's step one is to finish that process out and make sure that is even feasible.
Somebody has a question? Do you have a question?
Just a comment.
Sure.
You folks don't need to convince us any further that you both need what you're asking for. That's very clear, and that should be and should have been given a high priority in this town before other things were asked for. That's my comment.
I'm Linda Goodrich, and I was chief of Shelburne Rescue from 2006 to 2018, and I was involved in this review in 2007 with some of our members and fire department, and we looked at expanding that in many, many ways, but at the time, our call volume was over 600 calls a year. It is now over 1,000 calls. To answer Mr. Flynn's question, the ambulance screaming out of here over 1,000 times for the year is really dangerous when the kids cut through here, school times when it's good weather, and we just couldn't make it work. And so moving in a location where we don't have to worry about the kids going to baseball, that's really dangerous for rescue because we have to watch out because the the baseball kids aren't the problem, but it's the families that come and watch the baseball kids. They're throwing balls out in edge of the road, so we have to screen
parking in front of fire apparatus base, so we can't
and
get
so
out.
So that kind of answers that question. And I did go, to answer Sean's question, I did go to the past town managers and mention to them that maybe we should be looking at buying land first so it's not such a tax burden for our community. And I am a member here, and I still am on Shelburne Rescue, and hopefully I'll be back in May.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Mary Kehoe, Jerry, you mentioned that the purchase price was $695.
Yeah.
I thought it was $650.
Yeah, so just to clarify, it's $650,000 to purchase the land. That would be next March ballot. But then, actually, that's step two. So it's, I want to get through step one. Yeah.
Z-Clint, I just wanted to make a couple mentions here tonight and comment on a few things that have been asked, a couple of good questions. I am not a Shelburne fireman or a rescue person, but I am a 30-year firefighter person. One of the things, specifically about the location, in today's day and age, the fire and EMS emergency services are not what it used to be 20 years ago. The stuff that is being experienced is very, very different from mass casualty incidents, the school shootings, all the stuff that we see in the media. And what we're finding is that the location of these buildings in a cluster, like in a tight community like this, necessarily isn't the best place to help manage one of those incidents if it occurs. So I think the location that they're talking about is really kind of away from city center or town center here in Shelburne, and is a responsible location to put this station. Mr. Finn commented on the community school being nearby. Although some of these buildings have high occupancies, one of the things that goes along with these a lot of times are some of the systems that are built into these buildings. Take the school for an example that Mr. Finn used. That is an alarmed building. It's protected. It's compartmentalized so that there's very early notification in the event of an emergency. And that helps responders out greatly when it comes to an emergency, whether it's EMS or fire base, either way. The gentleman that mentioned the incident up on Route 7 in front of the flatbed, one of the things that we experience, especially EMS these days, is the higher call volume. So I can only imagine, not knowing Shelburne Rescue's call volume necessarily, that they are experiencing overlapping incidents. So they may have 1, 2, 3 incidents going on in Shelburne at a time. It may not just be Shelburne Ambulance covering the town of Shelburne. We have our neighboring communities that we rely on as well. So those were just a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. And the fire chief is absolutely right. As we move forward with this community and the ISO ratings, which does impact your insurance premiums, we very well may be looking at a different number if we don't keep up with the times here in the community. So I just wanted to mention that.
Another thing I'd like to mention is if this site, even if it was expandable, what you need to keep in mind is when you start thinking about large incidences, that's probably the worst location in the world for a fire station. You're 30, 40 feet from a train track at a major intersection. If there's ever going to be a train accident in Shelburne, it's going to be right here. If that train derails here or hits something in this intersection, we are out of service. We can't get trucks out of the station because we can't get close enough to get them. If you start talking about spills and leaks and all that kind of an issue, as soon as that train goes off the tracks, we're calling Charlotte and South Lawrence and Hinesburg and everybody else because we are useless. We can't get trucks out of the building.
Hi, I'm Linda Rich, and I've lived in Shelburne for 30 years, and you've presented beautifully. It seems like it should go through very well. It seems very practical. If you do the math and you put your facility in the center of Shelburne, that to make yourselves accessible to all of Shelburne, I just want to know a couple questions, and then I'll take all the answers at the end. Can the ladder truck go under the trestle on Bay Road? And I want to know, why don't you ever do coin drops in the center of town? Because we start with traffic. I live at the corner of Long Meadow. I welcome you. I welcome you. And as our population ages, I welcome you even more. And the way you're presenting so beautifully, it makes me feel just so honored and pleased and proud to live in Shelburne. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. The question about the ladder truck, currently it will not go underneath that train trestle. Okay. That is kind of another reason why this location is ideal for us, because it puts us closer to both ends of Bay Road, accessible at both ends, and a reasonable amount of time. In the future, that may happen, because I know there's been talks about them raising that bridge a little bit. At that point, it only needs to go up about...
Got to cope about 6 inches.
6 inches, and it'll be fine.
That actually is on the railroad's radar as that bridge is aging, and I think the 1912, I think, is the number on the wall underneath that thing. So, but that is one of the things we've had many conversations with. In fact, while we were planning the spec process for that truck, we actually were having conversations with the railroad about that. And whenever that bridge is replaced, it is not going to be that difficult for them with the length that they have to actually raise that, the 6 inches we would need to make that inaccessible. As we know, that it's not just our ladder truck, it's every single ladder truck in the state of Vermont will not fit under there. It doesn't matter whose it is that's coming, nobody's fits. So, and as we don't rely just on ours, but we Burlington Fire Department comes down, South Burlington Fire Department has come down, and none of them fit. So they all have to take the long way around as well. So that is actually, as that bridge, when that comes up for replacement, that is on our radar already to make sure that does happen.
You could probably tax everybody on the point.
Well, thankfully that's a railroad cost. That's your federal dollars. That's your federal dollars.
Yes?
I'm Dan
York.
This summer to Shelburne, actually off to Richmond Drive, right off of Long Meadow. I used to be in the volunteer fire service, so I think for all the reasons it's fantastic what you're talking about here. My question, and I have a kid at the Waldorf School, so we drive by your, I don't know how you guys rescue building. But the question I had was, what's, if this happens and the station moves, what will be done with the old station?
There's been some conversation. It's basically going to be town property. They're more than welcome to do whatever they want with it. They've had, I don't know if they've had discussions of what they actually do want to do with it. I know there's been a lot of people who've offered opinions. It's basically, it can be used for a number of things, or it can just be removed. I mean, it's, you know, it's in an area where if they want to have green space, or if they want to have more parking, or whatever they want to do, it's in the town's hands to do whatever they want. There is no problem that building being reprioritized. There obviously needs to be some upgrades to it, because we're currently, as we sit as a fire station, we don't meet code. If that scares you, it scares me even more. So it would have to have upgrades to the sprinkler system. Would have to have an elevator installed because it has a second story. There's a number of things that have to be done to it to make it livable for another agency or whatever they decide to put in there. But it does have uses, or if, like, the town, if they decide to just demolish it, they can remove it. It's on their property, so they might do what they want.
Rescue is built in a wetland, so yeah. That one might have to come down.
Yeah. It should come down.
It should.
Stay
anyway.
It's on its way.
But not yet.
Yes, sir.
Got one question. When we were in here 2 years ago, talking about the Quint.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm not setting you up, because I really don't know the answer on this at all. But we had talked about that apparatus would replace three older trucks.
Two older trucks.
And have those two older trucks been disposed of?
They've been gone.
So okay. The engine, the squad that they replaced, the engine's actually gone to...
The engine went to New York.
Okay.
And New York. The rescue truck went to the dealer.
Okay. I just want to know if there was any fault because we didn't get rid of them? Or?
That actually brings up a really good point as one of our issues with space, and because this has recently happened to us. One of the things that we've looked at as we look at future and we talk about growth is not only adding apparatus to the fleet because the town has grown so much, but when it comes time to replace the apparatus, There is a minimum of about a 2-month window, depending on how well and how efficient and being volunteers. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get things installed and mounted on trucks. There's an overlap in the need for parking apparatus. And when we took purchase of the Quint, while it did replace two apparatus, we had 2 months where we had to get rid of one of those apparatus early, and we were 5 seats short for calls and equipment because the Quint wasn't in service, but we needed a place to park it. So we had to put it inside, so we had to get rid of the truck that was going to have to go for its space. So that, as one of the things that I've strongly looked at in the building since I've done a lot of that work with the trucks over the years, is not only can we fit what we own now, the potential for expanding our fleet, but when it comes time to buy the new truck and you have to park the new truck and the old truck, you need the space to do so. It's no different than an ambulance. It's no different than the police cars. When they take the lights out of one and put them into the other, they have to park them both next to each other if you don't have enough space to do that. And that's where we're at right now. So this building and that future, the look towards the future and the growth is that it will also allow us to do that and not have to sacrifice a reduction in apparatus and service potential while we wait and outfit the new piece.
Are there any other questions? I've heard them all.
Okay.
I guess if you don't mind, I'd like to make a statement as a member of the select board, if that's possible.
This is, by the way, we're all on TV right now, I think. That's what this is for, mostly. So I'm Mary Kehoe. I'm a member of the select board, and I just wanted to say that I realize the town is still obviously reeling from events of the past. People feel like the library got pushed through at a time that was a low vote time. The vote was in November, and a lot of people felt like that wasn't a big turnout time for the library. And there's still really feelings about the railroad issue. So I understand this is very difficult, and we have things coming down the pike. We have to deal with stormwater. We also have to deal with wastewater. We have to upgrade our wastewater plants within the next several years, and that will certainly be expensive. To assuage your concern, Sean, we already paid for the railroad bills. They're all paid up. So that ship sailed, and I think we all learned a lesson. But what I want to say about this particular project is I view it as precisely the type of thing that we should be doing. It's being done in a staged way. It's not being foisted upon us in one vote. So the first step is, will the property support the infrastructure necessary in going through that first investigative process? And that's going to set the town taxpayer monies back $25,000. If it does meet the criteria for building, then we're going to come back to you next year and ask the town to vote whether or not to buy the property for $650,000. And then we don't have to build immediately. We can do it in a, we can start saving, and we can do it in a way that the town can suffer the cost of the development without a big blow at one time. So from my perspective, this is smart. But the other thing to say about property is, many of us probably know this, property is unique. There's no piece of property that's like another piece of property. And we've got a unique situation here that is not likely to repeat itself. And I think we need to seize upon it. It's reasonably priced, and it became reasonably priced thanks to our chairperson, Jerry Story, who's back in the room, back of the room. He did the negotiating and brought it down significantly. And we're going to get to share the costs, the infrastructure, investigative piece of it, we're going to share with Healthy Living. So that's not likely to repeat itself. So to me, this is an opportunity that presents itself in a way that's perfect for the town. It's not going to hurt us this year at all. Nobody's going to feel it in their pocketbook. When we go for the purchase, that itself, is Peter in the room? Where'd Peter go?
Not you, Peter Frankenberg.
He's working.
I'll tell you that he left.
He's working on the budget. Yes,
he's working.
But I think we'll probably it'll probably go by bond to purchase it, which gets paid over time, so not in one fell swoop. So it is clear that we're going to experience some increased expenses over the next few years as the library bond comes due. It'll go up and then eventually come down. But I don't think we can use that experience as a reason not to do this. In fact, that experience is a reason to do this. Thanks.
Thank you,
Karen.
You. I would encourage anybody here, if you have questions and you think of questions later, I would encourage Maddie to please print my email if she prints anything about this in the paper. By all means, print my email. You can go on the Shelburne Fire Department website. You can contact me through that website. Jacob can get reached through the Shelburne Rescue's website. If you have any questions for either of us, please ask, because I want this to be as clear and open to the residents of Shelburne as it can be. We're not hiding anything. We're not trying to hide anything. We're trying to progress as departments into our future and into the safety of the town of Shelburne. You can email me anytime you want. If you want information and stuff that I have here in front of me and you didn't get it over there, I'd be glad to give it to you. It's not confidential by any means. So, again, I just please, if people approach you and have questions, and send them my way. Send them Jacob's way. Send them our way something. Let them get in touch with us so they can have clear knowledge of what they're voting for this month. I'd actually like to read the ballot. It's going to be kind of wordy, but this is the reason I want this made very clear. Article 8 is this here and some on the back. It's a very lengthy, wordy article, but you need to understand what it says. So I want to read it right now. Shall the voters of the town of Shelburne appropriate $25,000 subject to receipt, grants, and aid, coupled with $25,000 contribution from the Shelburne Rescue Squad, for the same purpose to 1. Enter into a purchase and sale agreement for a portion of Lot 6 of the Rice Lumber property on the southwest corner of intersection of Shelburne Road and Long Meadow Drive, and 2. Determine the suitability and site for a future fire rescue station, with the work being undertaken jointly with Road to Hannah Incorporated, DBA Healthy Living Market and Cafe, which currently holds an option to purchase the property and intends to use a portion of the property for its own facility. There's a note. The total up to $50,000 is a maximum dollar share of this first $100,000 in joint cost, with the other $50,000 being paid by Healthy Living. Over the next 12 months to analyze, subdivide, and otherwise permit development of the property as steps in determining its suitability for both Healthy Living and the fire rescue station. So the site to be determined to be suitable, this activity contemplates a town's vote at next year's annual town meeting to consider purchasing the lot at a cost not to exceed $650,000 and pay additional state-related costs, subject to terms and conditions of a letter of intent between the town and Healthy Living, which have been made available for public review. That's how the ballot reads. It's very wordy, but in the nitty-gritty, it's $25,000, $50,000 with the rescue's money this year is all you're committing to. That's it. You're not committing to buy this land next year. You're just committing to have it put on the ballot next year. That'll be a whole other issue next year. But I'm hoping our due diligence over the next year, we can persuade people to understand why this is so necessary. I encourage anybody to stop by the Shelburne Rescue and Shelburne Fire Station anytime you want. You have to have cars, otherwise nobody there. But if you want to, I will meet anybody there. If you want to come and view our facility, I'd be more than glad to give you a tour of our facility and show you what our constrictions are right now. So please, 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 just understand what we're looking for here. We're not asking a lot right now. We're asking you to invest in the future of this town, the safety of this town down the road. And I take any and all questions. Do you want to add anything, Joe, before you leave? Or?
No, I'm good.
Are there any other questions at all?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah.
I'm Chris Bissonnette. We own the Shelburne Camp here in Detrimental.
Yep.
Just a question on the proposed new building. Would that be built to house the Shelburne Water Rescue boats also, or would that have to be another off-site
storage? No, this building will hold everything we currently have with room for more. It'll give us room to everything we currently have, including our fire prevention trailer, which is stored out back. All that stuff will fit in this building. It'll also give us room because we want our building, we're anticipating 90 feet deep, which is actually three bays.
Right.
So it gives us room to add stuff even more down the road if we have to. So This gives us plenty of room. This, like John was saying, this is not a 10 or 15 year building. This is going to be here for a very, very, very long time. It'll be past my time for sure. Yes?
Maybe a question for Joe. What's the time frame for Healthy Living to build their building in the plant?
They are hoping to start construction probably in late spring, early summer of 2020, if everything goes well. That's kind of a target right there.
Anything else?
I just wanted to make one comment. I don't know if anybody has ever seen upstairs where their meeting room is. If you're elderly or something and they have something over there, you can't go upstairs to participate because they don't have an elevator. And let me tell you, if you have short legs, those stairs are deep for us people with short legs. I've been over there numerous times. I've helped with the bank up with the pancake breakfasts at the fire station, done a few other little things over there. And let me tell you, by the time we get done, my legs hurt from the steps. Because most of those guys have big, nice, long legs, but us little short people don't.
Oh, just a couple of us.
A couple of us. But I just think, you know, that is what this new place will be nice. It'll be nice because they will be able to have people there, and the community will be able to go. And, I mean, they could even use it for other things. But, I mean, it would be nice to be able to have the community use the fire station to its potential.
Our station is currently open to other... actually, he's got a group that's going to be using it. Or Joe, is it? So it is open for the town to use. We've had rescue home classes in there for CPR. We've had... there's a nanny training.
The au pair group.
The au pair group that comes in once a year. They come in and we do training for them once a year.
Birthday parties.
So the birthday parties. I mean, yep. There's events actually held upstairs. With a new building being a bigger fire station and more accessible and obviously better resources as far as kitchens and bathrooms and stuff like that, yes, obviously it would be open up to the public. You're more than welcome to use our meeting room anytime you want, as long as there's nothing going on upstairs and you want to have a meeting up there. We don't have a problem with that. But it's not handicap accessible. That's the only issue. And us as a fire department, we are supposed to kind of be a shelter for people in need when there's storms or stuff going on. We can shelter you downstairs as long as you don't have to get upstairs, because if you're unable to move upstairs, we can't help you. And that's a concern of ours, because we should be a place that can take in people in need. And then I forgot to answer one of your questions. I apologize. When you talked about the coin drop, we, for a long time, thought that coin drops were, how do I want to say, not, what's the word I want to use, Craig?
Politically correct.
We're asked not to do them because the town of Shelburne provides us with our budgets. What I found out last year, when we were doing the quint, I went to the town, I said, you know, there's other ways to raise money. We can do fundraisers, we can do coin drops. And one of our select board members actually asked us, why don't you do coin drops? And I said, well, prior to you, the select board frowned on that. Coin drops are not an issue. We are more than happy to do coin drops, and we can do coin drops. The only issue with coin drops is if you're on Route 7, because it's a state highway, you have to get special permission from the state of Vermont. I'm sure they don't have an issue with it, but we can do that. It may be something we're going to pursue doing when we start thinking about a station in the future. There's always ways to do fundraisers and taking donations. So that all down the road, when it ever gets to that point of the new station, that's obviously stuff we're going to incorporate into that process.
Thank you.
So I know the special note at the end of the article reads to the $650,000 next year's for the land purchase, and then as of the associated costs,
yep.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, are things like if we are going to buy the land and then eventually build on it, you have to do stormwater mitigation and certain things that Healthy Living has to build, and then we would have to build, and they're not going to build their portion, and then 15 years later when we want to add our station, we have to redo all of their work, and so you do it all at once with that site, with the future site plan in mind. That total cost shouldn't come any higher than the quint cost. That quint cost 2 years ago, so I don't have this year's numbers or next year's numbers, came out to $5.35 per $100,000 of assessed value. If you broke that down to a monthly cost to the average home in this town, that comes out to less than a cup of coffee at the Jiffy Mart per month. Now, if you like your Starbucks and your Dunkin' Donuts, you're spending three, and I drink Dunkin' Donuts too, but you're spending three times the price as you would at the Jiffy Mart for a cup of coffee. So when you think about price and what it does to your tax rate and how this one price, while it seems like a big number because it is a big number, if you actually break it down to what that's going to cost you in a month's time or a week's time over the course of the 20-year bond that this would be, or however long it, that was a 20-year bond for the $970,000 fire truck, that's what it came out to, was less than a cup of coffee a month. So I like to put things in kind of as simple of a term as I can to understand what that's going to cost me over time. So this year's price is to make sure the site actually works. Next year's vote is to buy the site, do the little bit of work that has to be done in order for us to even attempt to build in the future. And then from there, it's design a building, apply for grants. Most of our grants are either a 5 or 10% match. So when you start looking at the grand total cost of a project, when you're only paying 5% of it, that's not a bad number either. So that's...
One more comment. Please don't wait 10 years for this.
We're hoping not to.
We're hoping not.
There are, like I say, you know, grants come around. Every year, federal government puts grant opportunities out for emergency services. And every year, fortunately, we have a town manager that used to do this. And as soon as he gets one, he's forwarded it to the department heads and said, oh, there's a grant opportunity. So we always look at them, make sure it's something we can use. We've applied for grants in the past. We're still applying for grants for different equipment. We will certainly apply for grants. And there are also foundations out there that do things for emergency services. And this is one of the biggest things that they like to help out, is when you got two agencies that are coming together as one to perform the same duties into a building that's more modern and more able to use your equipment. They help. They like stuff like that, and they help people like stuff like that. So there are a lot of opportunities for us to moving forward to raise money for the station. That's not even a concern of ours right now.
We don't want to wait 10 years, but it took us 2 years to spec out and build the truck that's going to last us 20. So we are going to take our time and do this process right, as we plan on this building being much longer than the 20 years. And I probably won't be here in the time that this building is going to last for its lifespan. So I personally want to leave for the future firefighters and EMS folks of this town a building, and for the town, something that they can actually use in the future. So we are going to do the process right. It will take us some time, but we don't want to build what we want and what we need for today. We want to also look at the future. As it's an unfortunate thing, but we're all volunteer now. At some point in time, it's going to change. There will be a portion of this fire department and a bigger portion of rescue that is paid full-time 24/7 coverage, and you have to have the facility to actually house those people and function. So we want to make sure we do that right now and not just throw something at the wall and see what sticks for a building. Go, yeah, it's going to work today, but it doesn't in 20 years or it doesn't in 5 years.
Jacob, am I correct that it was through the generosity of a wealthy benefactor that the present rescue building was built?
Yeah.
So there's a
Dunbar Boswick, I believe, is.
So there's a possibility that we could, have a benefactor to help with the new facility.
And that is when it comes time, once we have an actual building design and it comes time to be looking for the funds to build the building, between the grants, foundations, fundraising, we are going to look at every way we could possibly think of. And if you have ideas, let us know how we can offset the tax burden to the rest of the residents. If people want to make donations, whatever that is, we can figure that out later. And we will be seeking as much as we can, because we're all taxpayers as well. So I don't want my taxes to go up any more than you guys want yours.
I think as chiefs of our departments, you know, it's our goal, number one, to make sure that our members have what they need to do their job effectively. It's our goal to make sure that we have the resources we need to protect the town of Shelburne 24/7. It's also our goal, you know, I'm not going to say how long I'm going to be here because Gigi will get upset, but I'm not going to be a chief forever. But my goal is right now is this is my project, so to speak, for the future of this fire department, for the future of rescue, is to make sure that this process gets done properly and gets done when it needs to be done. Because when I leave here, I want to make sure the department I leave behind has the resources they need to still continue what I've done up to this point, and what Craig's done, especially what Craig's done up to this point. I mean, this was all put together originally when Craig was chief, so he has a lot to do with this whole process. So that's our goals as chiefs, is to basically just provide everything we can to our members and to the township.
No, I echo the sentiment of trying to get a building done as chief for rescue. It's something that's been on the agenda for so long that it would be fantastic to actually finally achieve that goal for the volunteers of rescue. Rescue's had no tax burden to the town of Shelburne for 11 years. I want to try and continue that as long as possible, at least for the operations. Unfortunately, it's not feasible to make that happen with a new facility for us, so we need to ask the town for this so that hopefully we can continue to have no tax burden for our operations. That's a huge benefit to the residents of Shelburne that I'd like to continue, but we do need help here on that point.
Any other questions? Yes.
I'd feel better if you bought a piece of property without healthy living involved, because I think they're going to get something out of this. They are. One hand helps out the other hand.
But they're not, because they have nothing to gain. Well, I'm serious. And when I say this from what I know. Healthy living is not saving any money in my office.
The guy right behind me, so.
Well, I understand that, but.
I think they're going to get something out of this when they go for planning and permits or something. Something's coming out of this.
We have nothing to offer them as a fire department to help
them. No, the town will when they start going for their permit processes.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
I'd just rather see the town buy a piece of property without them involved. Their own piece of land.
But that's what they're basically doing. Healthy living is not involved, only to the point of subdividing their property and selling it. They're going to sell it to somebody.
Yes, but you guys want it bad, and they know it.
But they didn't get top dollar from us. They can turn around. I want to explain something to you. That site, the way it sits.
The train's coming down the track, though, someday.
But please listen. I need to make this very clear. As that sits right now, healthy living is not at a benefit, because they can move to the back of that property and sell it for a lot more money than they're selling us on our part. They already told us that, and they already are very clear on that. They're not making anything by selling us this property at a reduced rate. I'm telling you, right from what I know, there's nothing that's going to benefit them by having us behind them.
Well, I like everything. I'm not against the expansion or anything. I just wish you could buy a piece of property without them involved.
But if you can find a piece of property in Shelburne on 2+ acres...
Well, see, that's why they know you want this.
Because there's no place... Well, I understand they know we want it, but they're not gaining anything. Because they can turn around tomorrow and say, we don't want to do this with Shelburne. We're going to sell the property to somebody else and make more money. They can do that tomorrow.
I still think they're getting something out of this.
Yes.
To some extent, I mean, the statement of intent is referenced in the balance.
Uh-huh.
If you read it closely, it also talks about shared development costs. And we do, the $100,000 goes toward the studies and permitting and all that. But at some point, we're going to share the development costs either with Healthy Living or the company to which they sell the property. And in sharing those development costs, we're also going to share the risk if the studies come up with some asbestos or hazmat mitigation or remediation.
I don't know if Mary wants to speak to that, because the select board took that into consideration. There's going to be a risk of loss of money no matter where we buy property. Anywhere you buy property in Shelburne, you've got to do that site development work, and you don't get the money back. So
you
even if we...
property right out here.
You still got to do site development. Look what happened in the library. Yeah. They had additional costs because they dug up the ground and found stuff they weren't supposed to find.
Yeah, I'd still feel better if Healthy Living wasn't involved.
I understand. I really understand. But they're not getting anything out of this. They really are not. They're not getting a tax break. They're not getting anything from the fire department, donation-wise. I don't really understand.
Will the tax need more taxes? Because
Could that property develop as a retail store?
I would think if they put two retail stores on that property instead of a retail store in the fire station, the town would gain more from it, yes. I mean, I'm not an expert on taxes, but my assumption is if you put two businesses there, they're going to get a lot more money than the Yardsville Fire Department.
The town to get that income.
They're not going to tax us because they're basically taxing themselves.
I'd like to address that point, Allison.
Please.
My view is that we need to do things in Shelburne to attract more businesses here. I also think we need to do things in Shelburne to get more housing starts. Actually, our housing starts are down the last couple of years. The question, you know, look at Williston. Williston has something we don't, and it has something we don't want. Those box stores out there, they're making, I'm sure, a ton of money on that. Look at Winooski. Winooski looks like it's having an economic boom. There's building everywhere. We don't have that. We don't have the benefit of a sense of economic development. In fact, I'd go so far to say, anecdotally, my understanding is Shelburne is viewed as not friendly to business. I think it's important that we make an investment in our town to get people to want to move here. We have two jewels that we forget about, Shelburne Farms and Shelburne Museum. Shelburne Museum is, let me make the point to you this way. Shelburne Museum has a budget that's larger than the town of Shelburne's budget. How many people know that? It is a huge operation going on right here, and we could capitalize on it in ways that we don't. In my view, if we have a good infrastructure of our town that we have to maintain, more people will come here. I guess it's sort of a if you build it, they will come kind of theory. So to me, we need to be proactive to get people to want to live, work, and play in Shelburne. And I see having, personally, I see having, and I know people don't agree with me, having a good business and a good community center helps with that. And having a good rescue team, a good fire department would be attractive to more businesses to come here. Along that corridor, that very corridor that's never going to be residential, but if you look at it, it's dying with the Yankee and all. So I actually think even though we won't get whatever those tax dollars are that would come from the kind of store that would be there, and if you ask any developer, do you know the kind of store that's going to be there? It's going to be a CVS or something like that, and I'm not sure we need something like that. So I think this is smart development. Thanks. Sorry, I talked way too long, as usual.
Is there anything else? I want to thank everybody for coming and asking the questions. That's what I wanted. I wanted a huge crowd. I wanted a lot of questions. And if I don't have answers, I'm going to try and get them for you, obviously. I encourage all of you to go out and talk to your neighbors. If they have questions, give them my email. Tell them to please contact us. We will be out on voting day. We'll actually be at town meeting as well to answer questions. But we'll be out here on voting day with anybody who has questions as they walk in. If you have a question, please ask it. Our only concern here is to just make it very clear what this March vote is. And that's what's important right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.